call the House Finance Committee meeting to order. Today is Friday, May 10th, 2019, and the time is 1 o'clock p.m. With us today is Representative Knopp, Representative LeBron, Representative Tilton, Co-Chair Foster, Representative Merrick, Representative Josephson, Representative Sullivan Leonard, Representative Ortiz. I'm Co-Chair Wilson. Today we have SB 19, the capital budget, before us. We're taking public testimony. I would hope that as people study, individuals study the capital budget that just came over to us from the Senate, if there are items that are missing or items that you may not agree with, please review it. I would hope to have a committee substitute before us on Monday to review, that we will also then have an opportunity to have amendments as well at that point. So, but today I want to make sure that we hear from the public on what capital issues there may be out there in the state of Alaska. So with that, I am going to open public testimony on SB 19. And the first person on my list is Jennifer Beckman from the Kenai Peninsula. Jennifer, are you there?
I am. Hello.
Hi. If you could just put yourself on the record and your affiliation, you can begin your testimony.
Thank you. My name is Jennifer Beckman. I am from Kenai and am representing Central Area Rural Transit and our passengers. Alaska invests millions of dollars each year to build out our transportation system, with the vast majority of those dollars going towards roads and bridges. As a result, we have created a transportation system that can be difficult to navigate without a vehicle. Cars are expensive to own and expensive to operate, prohibitively expensive for many low-income families. For the elderly and people with disabilities, driving may not be an option. Public transportation is the link to jobs. It's how we get to the doctor's office, the grocery store, childcare, education, training, and other essential places. By limiting our transportation options, we limit access to education and opportunity, jobs, healthcare, healthy foods, and much more. This hurts job seekers, workers, employers, the elderly, and people with disabilities. The public and community transportation state match funds are an important part of the funding necessary to get people where they need to go. These funds are used by transportation providers statewide to leverage millions of dollars in federal funds to deliver service. In doing so, we also purchase goods and services from local businesses. CARTS has used prior years' match funds to give rides, purchase vehicles, and replace IT equipment. Other providers on the peninsula that have received funds use them to purchase service and vehicles. I ask the committee to continue the investment in public and community transportation and support the $1 million for public and community state match funds. Thank you for the opportunity to speak with you today.
Thank you, Jennifer. Next on the list is John Strassenberg. If you could please put yourself on the record and your affiliation, you may begin your testimony.
Say that again. I was just grabbing the phone. I didn't hear what you just said.
Not a problem. If you could just state your name and your affiliation, you may begin your testimony.
Okay. Okay, I represent, can you hear me?
I can.
Yeah, I represent myself. My name is John Strassenberg, and I live in Talkeet. I request that you remove from the capital budget all funding for the South Denali Visitor Center. Earlier today, I sent a letter to you, to the Finance Committee, explaining the reasons for this request. In 2006, there was a large planning effort and EIS process that chose Site 1 as the location for the visitor center. Site 1 is a place with stunning views of the Alaska Range from river to the top of Denali, and excellent trail development potential. A record of decision affirmed this choice and was signed by all of the cooperating agencies. An amendment to Denali State Park Master Plan happened concurrently to conform with the EIS. In the following year, unbeknownst to the public, the agencies changed the record of decision Site 1 to another site referred to as Site 2, or the new site. This was a significant change, which would locate a visitor center on the alpine tundra in an ecologically fragile area over a mile from the record of decision site number one. The new site is not supported by the public, is not supported by the record of decision, and is not supported by the amendment to the Denali State Park Master Plan. The new site means more NEPA, more site analysis, more public process, and more controversy. I think it very unwise to spend scarce funds on this project without addressing these problems and without knowing where the actual location of a visitor center would be. And this is especially true given the many real needs of Alaskans. And that's all I have to say. Thank you very much for your consideration.
Thank you, John. Next is Ruth Wood. Oh, sorry, we have a question. Representative Ortiz.
Oh. Thank you. When you made the statement that it's, quote, not supported by the public, do you have some sort of, like, poll or any information to back up that particular statement?
Could you repeat that? I'm sorry. Could you repeat that? It's very, very windy here right now, and there was your sentence broke up a little bit.
You made the statement in your opposition to where things stand in the Denali Visitor Center. You made the statement that the change is not supported by the public. Do you have a basis for that statement? Was there a poll? Was there a lot of a public meeting where there was public input that gave you the reason to make that statement?
Well, this has been going on for a long time, and the only thing and I know the people who worked on it, and I know that there was a resolution of the Borough Parks Recreation and Trails Advisory Board that objected to this change, of the change from Site 1 to Site 2, and many folks that I've talked to at meetings and seen at meetings were taken aback by this change and oppose it. And there was one meeting that Lisa Murkowski held up here many years ago. It was, probably 8 or 9 years ago maybe, as this was happening. And we had a meeting in the Sheldon Community Arts building, and that was brought up, and Lisa Murkowski said to the crowd, you know, well, how do you guys feel? And there was just kind of a broad assent that, yeah, this is a problem.
Okay, thank you very much. I appreciate that added information. Moving next to Ruth Wood in Talkeetna.
Okay.
So, hi, my name is Ruth Wood, and I am also want to protest or ask you to remove this $2.5 million. I have been working on this issue since before 2006, you know, and I felt really bad because I had a qualified letter of support at the original site, and as soon as they moved it, it's being moved, it's talking about being moved right up to Lake 1787, and the EIS study talks about the sensitivity of that area. It's in the alpine tundra. It is will be visible to anybody hiking up on Curry Ridge. And from my letter that I sent today concentrated a lot on the finances because this is the finance committee. But you cannot find out what the $2.5 million that's left in there is for other than planning and design. We're hearing rumors that they're now talking about a year-round facility. The $25 million came from, you know, was estimated back in 2007. Construction costs have gone up, and the cost of running this facility was estimated, if you add both maintenance and staff, to be close to $900,000 a year. and there's a pretty unsupported document estimating huge revenues. But visitor centers don't usually generate huge revenues. So, but my concern is that once the, you know, people like me bought into what was being proposed, what was signed by the state, the feds, the park, all of a sudden gets shoveled aside, and money is going to be thrown into something that has not been vetted and really needs further study. I mean, there's not a road to the site they're talking about yet. So are they going to put a road in up to the tundra before they put a facility in? you know, I'm just everything about this project concerns me, and the fact that the public, I've been on the state site trying to get information on this for the last couple of weeks since the Senate took up the capital budget. And I think that, I mean, my understanding from talking to people is that if they change that site, more NEPA is required, and a NEPA process is a long process. Now, you know, that's to be determined, but I don't know what this $2.5 million is supposed to do, and I do know that in this time when the state is looking at cutting back, this is not a good use of the state's money.
Thank you, Ms. Wood. We've got a question from Representative Merrick.
Okay.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Ms. Wood, do you know if there are any, if there's any private investment from, say, industry or anyone else
going into
this? Well,
there are so many rumors. You know, I have heard that Princess wants to put some money into it. Whether that's included in this, I don't know. I can't find any information. And, I mean, I even called Legislative Finance, and they just said, well, you know, that $2.5 million is probably pretty arbitrary, and there's no information of what it's going to do. So if any of it comes from industry, I can't find that out. If you can find it out, I would love to know. But I do know that you know, Princess has a hotel up there, but there's a lot of places for their visitors to go. And the development that is there now has a campground, it has cabins, and it has a absolutely spectacular trail that is easy. People who are limited in their physical abilities can still walk up there, and it's kids, children, it's just phenomenal right now. And to put a building up there will not serve Alaskans, and it will not serve our visitors. So I can't really answer. I'm sorry, I can't answer your question. I'm hearing all sorts of rumors, but I don't have any real information.
Okay, thank you.
And Ms. Wood, we've got another question from Representative Josephson.
Ms. Wood, and if you don't know, and you seem to indicate that you weren't sure, but I've been at the Princess Hotel there near the state park, mm-hmm. and so is there some understanding that Princess might be interested in a second resort in sort of proximity to the first resort?
Okay, so I don't know if Princess, there is an inn holding in the park, mm-hmm. and
it was a
native corporation. And supposedly they were interested in building a hotel, and I think that they worked with the state. The road that now goes to the campground, the state negotiated with them to get to do some kind of land trade that allowed the road. I think it was better soils or something. So I have not heard recently. If you drive up to the campground, there's you can see where the road to this development would go if it's going to happen, but I don't have information. But even, you know, the thing is if a facility goes up there, it should either go at the site that was at the record of decision, because that site was carefully vetted in the EIS. A site there would serve any hotel just as well as putting it up on this lake. And plus, putting it up on this lake is going to cost way more. So I am sure there is interest, but nobody has. I've heard also that Princess is expanding the number of rooms they have. But again, all of this is hearsay. And, you know, even if they do, what's there now? I mean, would serve their customers. And what's there now really serves Alaskans. And, I mean, I do think that right now this is the most popular hike in Denali State Park. And it's really important to give Alaskans an easy easy hike. And what we have now does that. And turning it into a commercial operation is probably going to wind up costing the state more because the revenue projections are not reliable. Anyway, I'm going on and on, but I don't know of any specific investment developments that are going to happen.
And we have another question from Representative LeBon.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Ms. Wood, thank you for calling in. Do you have an opinion or any knowledge about support from the National Park Service? Denali National Park is located north of this site. Have they weighed in one way or the other on this project, to your knowledge?
You know, they were involved in the original EIS. When I do not know what involvement they've had, I do know that their primary concern was trying to take pressure off of the national park. The thing is that I don't think this would do that. You know, people come to Alaska to go to Denali National Park, and I've been in other areas in the country where, you know, they do another development thinking people will divert it. To another location, and it doesn't work. And I do believe that the National Park Service acknowledged that more NEPA would be required if they move the site. And I know they've been told that. but I don't know. They, you know, the National Park Service right now has an interpretive person that speaks up there a couple of nights a week, so that the people at Kasuji Ken, which is the campground that's there now. So, but I don't think the Park Service is going to build the site. I don't think federal money can be put into the site without more NEPA. And I'm pretty confident of that, although, you know, it hasn't been litigated or anything, but I'm pretty confident that moving a site over a mile away and making it in a more sensitive area, when the original EIS acknowledges how sensitive that area is, I think there's going to be a lot of stuff required before anything can be done there.
Great. And I don't.
Sorry, does that answer your question enough?
And it looks like that does. Thank you, Ms. Wood. I don't see any other questions, so thank you for your testimony. We've only got six people for public testimony, just to let folks know there's not long of a wait. We're going to move into the room here in Juneau. First up, we've got two people, Ms. Doreen Lorenz. If you could come up and put yourself on the record, your name and your affiliation.
Hello. My name is Doreen Lorenz, and I'm chairman of the board of the Friends of the Jesse Lee Home, which is a Seward group. I personally am fourth-generation Seward. I'm what Seward people look like. Since 1997, the Alaska State Legislature has been working with the people of Seward in an effort to support restoring the Jesse Lee Home. Over $3 million has been expended thus forth to stabilizing the building, developing architectural and engineering, as well as hiring national experts in terms of historic preservation engineering, because we don't have that many historic preservation engineers in Alaska, unfortunately, as well as a national expert who actually wrote the book on how to make a historic building a self-sustaining green building so it's energy efficient. We have also brought the architectural engineering up to 80% finished and developed the curriculum of the CTE, or Vocational Educational Charter High School, that will be in the final use of the building. That school will be a feeder for AvTech. It is about a block away from Seward High School, which is nice because we have an arrangement where we can use their high school pool, so the kids who come in from the bush are able to learn how to swim without us having to build pools in all the different villages. Additionally, the classes that we'll be taking in conjunction with AvTech, most of them will not be giving them a certificate. They're not going to learn how to become an electrician. They will, however, understand electrical safety and whether or not electricity is something they're interested in being as a job, and then get assistance in going through AvTech and getting a certificate so they could have a job where they pays a wage where they can afford a family back home. Last year, $1.25 million, which was earmarked for for restoring the building, was moved over so that this nationally to the city of Seward for the purpose of tearing down this building, which has been recognized nationally as an important historic structure. We love this building because it's the home of Benny Benson. It's where the Alaska state flag was first designed, sewn, and flown. Nationally, this building is loved because it is one of the very few residential schools that Native children went to, and alongside children who were Japanese and children who were white, everyone by mandate was treated exactly the same. And that is a big deal nationally. There has been a volume that's 4 inches thick of interviews of other people who went to the Jesse Lee home. Not a single one of them has expressed racist issues. And they all consider that place to still be their family and their home. These people are not 90 years old. The last year the building had children in it was the year that I was born. So folks my age are still walking around, and that building is still very important to them. What we're asking for today is an amendment, a language change. Last year's appropriation to the city of Seward, we're happy to stay at the city of Seward. We worked with the city the very first year that the legislature gave us money. We found them to be a great working relationship. Chris Ersinger, who is the financial manager there, is very supportive of the project, very easy to work with. What we would like, however, is for there to be more opportunity in that language. The way it is strictly written currently, it only allows for hazmat abatement, site remediation, tearing the building down, and carting off the materials. So in effect, this August, the state of Alaska will spend $1.2 million, and at the end of the day, they'll have a dirt lot. We would like to have some flexibility so that that funding could be used for its original purpose, securing the building, keeping it stabilized, and moving us forward and putting it to its eventual use. We have been working with the Dunleavy administration. They have designated this project to the Department of Labor. It would be nice if we could move that away from DCEED, which no longer has those responsibilities, over to the Department of Labor so that it's underneath the appropriate department who's working on it. Brett Huber, who is the policy advisor working on this in the Dunleavy administration, authorized me to tell you folks that they're extremely interested in the success of this project, and that we are working with both the Department of Labor and the Department of Education to have it come to fruition. We do have a 60% federal match for our funds. There was some concern that we hadn't been expending our funding that we had been appropriated, and that's because we were saving it for the match. We do have a local foundation who has offered us end money if we need it, and ADA has offered us a loan, but we do not want to start a school with a loan because those that do fail, we would much rather spend the time getting funding from different granting organizations. We're not here asking for money. We're just asking for a language change.
And thank you, Ms. Lorenz. So as I understand it, in the FY19 budget, $1.2 million was put in for abatement of the building, and you're asking that we reappropriate the money for a different use, which would be to shore it up and keep it open, correct?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Are there any Representative Sullivan Leonard?
Thank you, through the chair. Thank you, Doreen, for coming to give testimony. I know you've worked on this for many, many years. Can you give us a little bit of indication of the community investment in the Jesse Lee home for its restoration?
Yes, ma'am. It's not just the Seward community who's invested in this project. It's very much a statewide effort. I just received a call 2 days ago from Outward Bound. Last year, their students, as part of their curriculum, worked on the Jesse Lee home. They did things like clean up the grounds, shore up the fencing. They painted some graffiti that was in there. They cleaned out trip hazards. Everyone who, we do have a volunteer coordinator in Seward who is a former Coastie. She has the Coast Guard come and work on that building every time they're in town. Part of our agreement with the city of Seward is that we need to do certain things, one of which is putting in water and wastewater lines. Obviously, that's not something you need right away for a building that's not being used, but it is part of our contract. So we have companies from Anchorage coming down, and I believe Fairbanks as well, and Kenai donating their time, their materials, and their service in getting that done in order to meet the deadline. The Jesse Lee Home kids are all over the state. Most of them started out in Nome with the influenza epidemics, but statewide with the epidemics of tuberculosis, people, they get really upset when people say it's an orphanage. It was just a foster home, and when their parents got better, they were able to return with their parents and live in different communities.
Follow up, Mr. Chair.
Follow up.
Thank you. I appreciate that. And I do know a lot of the history with the Jesse Lee Home and am very supportive. Can you give a distinction then with regard to its historical distinction, if you will? Is it under the U.S. distinction for historical buildings?
Yes, ma'am. It's on the National Register of Historic Places. It is also on the State Register and is currently listed as one of the most endangered buildings, historically important buildings by the State Historic Preservation Commission. We've worked with Judy Bittner extensively over the years, and she's very well aware and supportive of this project as well.
Very good, thank you.
It was looking like the appropriation for the abatement was in the last year's budget, FY19 is what we're thinking, but for some reason I'm thinking that was even prior to that, and we looks like I'm getting a head nod back there.
Sir, I spoke with Tom Wright, and he pulled the language from last year's budget for me. Previous to that money, our kitty, our matching funds, was removed and taken to the Department of Transportation. We have no complaints about that. We're happy to see roads plowed. It's the $1 million that was left over that we're interested in using to continue stabilizing the building and getting it restored.
And we can certainly look into that more. Are there any other questions of the committee? I don't see any. Thank you very much, Ms. Lorenz. Also here in the room, we have Aaron Walker Toll. If you could put your name and your affiliation on the record.
Thank you very much. My name is Erin Walker Tolis. I'm Executive Director of Catholic Community Service and a United Way of Southeast Alaska board member. I'm here today to talk to you about the public and community transportation state match. Catholic Community Service provides the biggest body of work we do is providing services to seniors all across Southeast Alaska. We've got 11 senior centers and communities throughout Southeast, and one of the biggest things we do is provide transportation to seniors and individuals with disabilities. I do want to mention, so we provide ADA complimentary paratransit in Juneau, Sitka, and Ketchikan. So I also am speaking on behalf of those communities. While we do not own the vehicles that we operate as the contractor in those communities, we obviously cannot operate ADA complementary paratransit in those communities if the Ketchikan Gateway Borough, the City and Borough of Juneau, and Center for Community and Sitka aren't able to afford to purchase vans for their fleets. We ourselves have over a dozen vans that we own directly, serving Haines, Skagway, Cake, Wrangell, Hoonah, Angoon, Yakutat, and Craig and Klawak, and that includes a van that we use for rides to Hollis. It's the only way for many seniors to get a ride from Craig and Klawak across to Hollis and grab the ferry over to Ketchikan. We annually write multiple grants, and we're always fundraising to get operating money for our senior centers, but also for capital money because we're required to provide a 20% match to the state and federal monies that we get granted to us to buy those vehicles. We're very concerned that without having the state money brought in for this purpose, that we're not going to be able to draw down the $3 or $4 million for every $1 million the state puts up. We get $3 or $4 million of federal money coming in to our state. And for many seniors, this is the only way they have to get to the doctor, to get to the senior center. And it's not just to get around the community. This is also how we deliver Meals on Wheels to homebound seniors in the communities that we serve. In every community, actually, except Juneau, which is Meals on Wheels is delivered by a fleet of volunteer vehicles. We have 150 volunteers doing that work here in Juneau. So I just ask that you consider fully funding the capital monies here for state match for public and community transportation so we can continue to have that fleet of senior rides and serve both homebound seniors with Meals on Wheels as well as seniors throughout the community and individuals with disabilities who aren't capable of taking fixed bus transit without a high level of assistance. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you. And are there any questions of the committee? And seeing none, thank you for your testimony. So next we will move over to the Anchorage LIO and then back to the off-nets. And it looks like we only have three, four people here, so not long of a wait. Next up, Mr. Patrick Reinhardt, if you could state your name and your affiliation.
Yes, can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you just fine.
Great. My name is Patrick Reinhardt. I'm the Executive Director of the Governor's Council on Disabilities and Special Education, as well as the Board President of the Alaska Mobility Coalition, and I'm here to speak on behalf of both in support of the item that Kathy, Executive Director from Catholic Social Services there, just spoke about. We very much appreciate the fact that this budget item is back in the budget. It is an important match funding that supports communities across the state in terms of the services that they provide to people with disabilities, seniors, and other low-income folks in a variety of communities. I know that the last speaker spoke about all the Southeast communities, but this match funding goes to support programs and services that have developed across the state over the last dozen years in places like Volcana, Valdez, Seward, Ketchikan, Homer, Fairbanks, Anchorage. It just supports just the Kalkeetna, a great number of communities. I just want to tell you one thing about kind of the history of this funding source, and it kind of went back to the days when we were first getting the Alaska Mobility Coalition going about 15 years ago. We were, myself as the director of the State Independent Living Council then, and the former director of the Governor's Council on Disabilities and Special Ed, both of us were back in D.C. Advocating for more federal transit dollars when we had Congressman Young as our the chair of the House Transportation Committee. We spoke with Senator Stevens and Congressman Young and his staff about the need for more federal transit dollars coming to the state of Alaska, huge number of needs. And one of the questions that we got asked often was how much does the state put into this, to these services? And embarrassingly, it was zero for many, many years. So we kind of took it upon ourselves a dozen or so years ago to advocate for the state to put some skin in the game when it comes to providing services for or transit services for people with disabilities and seniors and these, particularly in the smaller communities across the state. That those federal dollars grew rapidly with the support of some changes on the federal level. We now have billions more of federal funding going into the state. And since then, we've had so many different programs that have started up very small communities from Talkeetna, Birdwood, and just very tiny communities that were able to get the funding necessary to pull together a program that can serve their community in a way that allows everybody to get to their senior center or to their services or just to participate the community fully. So we appreciate this funding item being in the budget, and we hope to keep it in. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Next is Susan Lang from the Friends of the Jesse Lee Home. If you could please put yourself on the record.
Good afternoon. My name is Susan Lang. I live at 13710 Beach Drive in Lowell Point, Alaska, and I am the volunteer coordinator for the Friends of the Jesse Lee Home. In the past year, I've conducted numerous tours of the property with people from literally all over the United States, including a young man who was an amateur photographer who took some of the most amazing photographs of what currently exists at the home. And you can see those on our on the Jesse Lee Home Facebook page. Our group of volunteers includes several families from the Kenai Peninsula as well as the greater Anchorage area, And last year we had two groups from Outward Bound Colorado who helped us out, and we've already been contacted by them again this year, and we'll have at least two, if not three, visits, and they will help us with the properties and whatever we have lined up. We're still in the process this year of planning out what needs to be done. The winter was not kind to the Jesse Lee home. Friends of the Jesse Lee home entered into a contract with the City of Seward to take possession of the property on 30th August 2019. Of the conditions required by the contract, most have been met, and the Friends of the Jesse Lee home are about to apply for a building permit from the City of Seward to install a required water line and a required sewer line. For whatever reason, people from the town of Seward found it necessary to apply for funds to tear down the building in spite of an existing agreement. The Jesse Lee home has served as an educational institution that was not readily available to Alaskan natives. We all know about Benny Benson and his Alaska flag, but do you know about Ephraim Kolmakoff, who at 14 years old won the Mount Marathon race in 1928, and his time stood until 1957? Or Peter Gordon Gould from Unga Island, who founded Alaska Methodist University in Anchorage, now known as Alaska Pacific University? The stories of the successes of students of the Jesse Lee home go on and on and on, and it'll be a travesty to have this important piece of Alaskan history torn down. I say it's akin to going to Texas and tell them they're going to tear down the Alamo. So please help us save the Jesse Lee home.
Thank you, Ms. Lang. Next is Marion Charles from the Willow Library Association.
Good afternoon. Can you hear me?
I can. If you could just put yourself on the record and your affiliation, you may begin your testimony.
My name is Marion Charles. I'm a member of the Willow Library Association. I live in Willow, Alaska. Our volunteer board has 9 members, and I'm here to ask you to support the Willow Library Replacement and Community Center Upgrade Project. We have submitted our request the last several years through the CAPSIS program. We have asked for a reappropriation of the Talkeetna Library Fund and money from the State General Fund. Historically, the state has provided funds for close to 50% of libraries throughout Alaska. We celebrate the new facilities in both Talkeetna, Alaska, and Sutton, Alaska. Currently, again, our volunteer board has secured almost 65% of our $5.7 million project. Again, it is a library that is connected to the community center. We are choosing to replace that library, and in doing so, double the size, and also then doing upgrades to the community center and to aesthetically connect the two structures. Some of the upgrades include a water system, sprinkler system throughout the whole facility. We have extreme problems with glaciation and snow shed off the entry area. As I said, we have 65% secured. $1.7 million of that has come from a grant from the Mat-Su Health Foundation, and the Mat-Su Borough currently has allotted $1.9 million for the project. We very much feel that any contribution from the state could be a tipping point for our project. We have grants submitted to ConocoPhillips, British Petroleum, Siri. We have been in conversation with the Rasmussen Foundation throughout our pre-development process with the 4-acre group. And I feel the community of Willow is certainly supportive of this project. WACO, or Willow Area Community Organization, our community council has made a contribution of $12,500 in the past 2 years. They also chose to have the Willow Library, I'm sorry, Willow Carnival kickoff dinner. Add $3 to each ticket for the funding of the community center upgrade and the library project. We ask for your support. Again, I feel any amount from the state would be a tipping point and certainly be an incentive for private sector potential donors to sign on for the project. Thank you so much for your consideration. Again, this request has been submitted to the CAPSIS system.
Ms. Charles, could you tell me what the amount, the division between the amount of money you're raising between the cost of the library and then the upgrades you're wanting to do to the community center?
It's approximately 25% for the community center and 75% for the library.
And if I did my math correct, you're about $2 million shy of 100%. Is that about correct?
Yes.
Okay, thank you so much. Any other questions? Seeing none, thank you so much for being with us today, Ms. Charles. We're going to go next to Iris Darling. If you could please put yourself on the record and your affiliation, you may begin your testimony.
This is Iris Darling. I live at 209 4th Avenue in downtown Seward in the Brown and Hawkins National Register Historic Property Building. I am here today to support completely the change in language presented by Doreen Lorenz earlier. A lot of money and efforts locally have gone into, have already been spent to preserve this historic facility. Once we destroy a facility of historic integrity, it's gone forever. We do not want this. The state of Alaska doesn't want this, I feel. And I do have my hand on the pulse of Seward. I've lived here for 30 years. My family was one of the founding fathers here, so we know Seward. And we've been very involved in the whole town. We believe it is in the best interest of the town, and we're now just in the grasp of fulfilling the role of restoring it. We have a lot of things lined up. The Friends of the Jesse Lee Home own the property and are under contract and have just about completed everything they needed to do to fulfill their agreement with the city administration. Our administration here has been in chaos for the past few years, but we have a brand new city manager who's been on the job less than 2 weeks, so hopefully we're going to get back on track. So, as a citizen of Seward and a longtime citizen of Alaska, we would appreciate you changing this language to allow the restoration of the Jesse Lee home rather than the demolition, because we would like to continue the efforts to preserve this historic structure. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Ms. Darling, and thank you for being involved. We greatly appreciate it. Next, we're going to go to Brian Okonek from Talkeetna.
Hello.
Hello. Can you please put yourself on the record? You can begin your testimony.
Yes. My name is Brian Okonek. I'm from Talkeetna, Alaska. And I'd like to speak to the money in a proposed budget to fund a Southside Denali Visitor Center. I think at the time that's inappropriate. The plan is written in 2006. Did not have the full support of the public. The plan was substantially changed at the last minute after all public comment had been taken and never gone before the public again. There's controversy over whether the plan suits the needs of the public and the park itself. The park has never gotten the funding that it needs. State Parks has always been operating on a very low funding. I think what the park needs, the State Parks on the whole, is more support from the state to provide for management and maintenance and staffing. But at this time, I think it would be totally inappropriate to spend $25 million on the Southside Denali Visitor Center. Also, I know the state is saying that this would provide a good revenue stream to help state parks in their deferred maintenance and staffing and whatnot. But in their management plans and their proposed plan for the Southside Denali Visitor Center, it's never really been stipulated just how the state would gain revenue from this facility. Thank you very much.
And I have one question, and just about the movement of the location of this project. So the hearings that they may have had in the area, are you telling the committee that when they had the hearings, that the location was in one place, and now it's changed, and there hasn't been any other public testimony on the new spot?
That's correct. They said that the change was insignificant. It was only moved a mile, but it actually is quite significant. It moves it to a whole other environment up in the high alpine tundra, a very sensitive lake. That area of the park was actually zoned differently to prevent this type of development, and zoning would have to be changed to make that move. And so it substantially changed the plan as was presented to the public. And yes, it never went back for public comment.
I appreciate the clarification, just making sure I didn't have an opportunity to ask the last testifier on this.
Thank you.
Seeing no further questions, just to let the committee know that there's currently $2.5 million into this project. But again, it's for design, and if it's not in the right place, I think they probably need to go back to the drawing board and have that kind of communications with the public. So is there anyone else online today? Seeing no more online, is there anyone in the room who'd like to testify on SB 19, the capital budget? Seeing none, I'm going to close public testimony. This is a pretty big document. I'd like everybody to have some time to be able to look at it and look into the details of it. If there are any amendments or further information you'd like to have on any specific project you see within there, if you could get to my office as soon as you can so we could bring that before the committee on Monday. Our next meeting is at 9 a.m. tomorrow, May 11th. The 5 o'clock meeting today is canceled. I know some of you have family. You'll be able to do that. And we will get the Representative Merrick? Right. So our next meeting is Saturday, tomorrow. And so we will have other bills before us. And we will bring this bill back before us on Monday, most likely at 9 a.m. if we can get the answers to any questions that come before us. And Representative Knapp.
So, Madam Chair, amendments to this capital budget, you accepting amendments or time certain, or what do you want to do?
So I'm not designating amendments because we haven't gone through the bill completely. What I would prefer is that there's additions, subtractions, if those kind of things, so we can bring any individuals in up on Monday so that, for instance, on the Denali project, if others on the committee would like more information, or maybe you do or don't like it already, you have that. I want to get Monday set up, and then we will have an amendment deadline come Monday. But we'll have a committee substitute ready for you so that we'll have everything for us. But I think there's still questions that we have in the capital budget on projects, and I know everyone has not had time to review it at this point. So any other questions to come before the committee? Thank you for the input. That's what makes our committee so much better. And with that, I will see everyone at 9 o'clock tomorrow morning. And we are adjourned at 2:18.